Carl Hiaasen has a new novel. Those six words just brought joy to those who thrive on his satirical skewering of the absurd in the state that he loves, Florida. Humor that barely conceals his disdain for those who destroy its natural beauty with overdevelopment or just plain stupidity. Google Florida Man. In his new book, Squeeze Me, it's the wealthy Palm Beach crowd, including a former reality TV star turned president, with a Velcroed hairpiece, which a screech owl confuses for roadkill fox. As Janet Maslin says in her rave review in the New York Times, look at yourself. If you are wearing a MAGA anything, you won't like this book. There's a group of women who adore this president. One of them disappears. Wait a minute, that lump in that invasive Burmese python looks suspiciously like Kiki Pew Fitzsimmons. There's also a recluse living in the Everglades who pulls up his eye patch to reveal a white sphere. I'm incubating an iguana egg, he tells a friend. Again, the book is Squeeze Me. Carl, great to talk to you again.
Oh, thank you for having me back.
Okay, we see what you've done here. This now famous president who never is named Trump but has some sort of a Velcro skull cap is in Florida at a place called not Mar-a-Lago, but Casa Bellicosa. And he has a following of women who call themselves the POTUSSies. People can use their imaginations. It's a combination of two words, POTUS and another one the president has used. There is a Mar-a-Lago. There are questions about the president's hair. And there is a group of women in Palm Beach. Are they called the Trumpettes?
I believe so. I think that's what they're called. I think you could probably Google them. I don't get invited too much, so I can't verify. But yeah, it's quite a scene. And, you know, if you write satire, you're drawn to the scenes that are target rich.
But have you observed the Trumpettes? Have you been to Mar-a-Lago? I mean,
I've actually been to Mar-a-Lago. It was a number of years ago. I'm not sure how long, maybe 9 or 10 years ago. And I actually met, you know, the real president long before he was running for office or anything. So, yeah, I've observed some of it. But you let your imagination run wild. And also, you know, there's a publication. And when I was writing Squeeze Me, I subscribed to this the Palm Beach Daily News, which is terrific. They call it the shiny sheet, and it basically is a society newspaper. So it has a lot of event photographs and what's going on in Palm Beach society, and that was inspirational, I have to say. Then your job as a novelist is just to take the ball and run with it, and it was that part was pretty easy.
Did you ever fear that as you were writing, something that you imagined, it's so outrageous it could never happen, could happen?
I had that fear every day when I was writing. In the times we live in, it's very tough to do satire. It's very humor is difficult because you think up a scene or a character or a plot line that you think is so far out there. And then you pick up the newspaper the next day, you go online and you see that there's a guy in the White House who's suggesting it's a great idea to inject, Clorox into your veins to cure COVID-19. You know, when I was writing this book, obviously I was finishing up right in the beginning, the first few months of the pandemic, but I was able to, I had enough time to revise and work in, you know, COVID references. But again, the idea of lockdowns, the idea of everything that's happened would have been hard to imagine, I think, even 4 years ago.
Yeah. Well, some things are imaginable because as you remind us throughout the book, you always bring us into some history of Florida. And so, for instance, we have talked before about pythons and how they're all through the Everglades. But you remind us what the problem is with Burmese pythons. Sum it up.
Well, they're big, they're prolific, and they haven't found a way to stop them. There's thousands and thousands of them out there. And they grow to about 18 feet long, and they can eat an adult alligator. And they've migrated out of the Everglades. They've sort of eaten their way through the food chain, and they moved north, and, I don't know that they've reached the island of Palm Beach yet, but I kind of wrote the novel for all of us who couldn't be there when it happens.
But has a socialite, perhaps named Kiki Pew Fitzsimmons, ever gone missing during a charity gala for which she'd written a check for $50,000? It's the Diamond Patrons Table at the annual White Ibis Ball, committed to defeating irritable bowel syndrome.
Yeah.
Has a socialite been swallowed whole?
No, but to my knowledge, nobody's been eaten yet by one of these big pythons. However, they've eaten, you know, full-grown white-tailed deer, for example. So it's not a big leap. It was kind of an irresistible combination. You think about, honestly, in my twisted mind, pythons, Mar-a-Lago, And then the book sort of writes itself, you know.
What else are you saying here about Florida?
It's not just a setting. It's not just a locale. This is the kind of place that's a character itself in every book. I mean, it is that significant, a landscape, and it's so diverse, and it's so beautiful, and it's so frustrating and exasperating to live here because, you know, it's changing continually and filling up with people. I think we now, you know, there's over 20 million people. And so that clash of this kind of wild and beautiful place with people coming from everywhere and filling it up is bound to be rich material for a writer. Now, it's not an accident that a lot of the most popular writers, you know, in the country have come here to set, now, I mean, including Stephen King, John Grisham. Karen Russell, who's caught it in a way not very many people have. I mean, it's just extraordinary. But it brings that out. If you're a writer and you land here, and I mean, you know, if you come straight from, you know, the Iowa Writers' Workshop or somewhere and they plop you down in Florida, you're going to be busy. There's no end to the material. And in a way, if you, like I, born and raised here and you love the place, and you find it also maddening, the writing itself becomes a form of psychotherapy. Mm.
And how much fun is it? I mentioned some of the lines in the beginning, but here's your description of some of the local women. This again, Palm Beach. He took up with one of the community's freshly divorced, self-discovering female yoga fanatics that traveled in packs, ever alert and lithe as meerkats.
Well, I think that's probably a description that applies far beyond Palm Beach County. But, you know, when you're writing lines, you know, when you're actually writing, at least for me, Dave Barry and I have talked about this too. You're not smiling or even laughing at what you're writing. There's part of you that says, oh, that's funny, or that works, or that the timing is good, or that adjective is perfect. But there's a part of you that says, is it right? Is the rhythm of it right? Does it look good on the page? Is it funny? But it's grim work when you're doing it. And when you're finished and you see that it works and you get such great reactions from people who are laughing at it, then it just validates your instinct. But when you're doing it, it can be grinding because one wrong word and it's that sentence isn't funny anymore.
Well, we have to say, Carl Hyacin, for those saying, wait a minute, he's really mocking some women here. You have at the center of the book Angie, the wildlife wrangler.
Yeah, she's the hero of the book.
Even though she fed the hand of a baby deer killer to an alligator, while the hand was at that point still attached to his arm,
he was a bad guy, you know, and she took extreme action. But she's one of my favorites. I mean, a lot of the novels have women who are the lead role or, you know, protagonist in them, and I just find them, they tend to be more interesting. They're stronger. They're smarter than the rest of the cast of characters usually, which in my own experience is true in real life. You never know when you start, you know, and originally that character when I was writing that started was a male character because most of the people in that business, wildlife removal business in Florida, you call them and they come get the raccoon out of your attic or something. Most of those folks are men. And so that's why it started. But I was, I don't know, 50 or 75 pages in. I thought, God, I think this would be much more fun if she was a woman in that profession. And she'd have to deal with a little bit more and a little bit of you know, skepticism and a little bit of doubt. And so, and I just liked her from the beginning. I really lucked out. Mm.
Carl Hyacin, the book is Squeeze Me, Get It. There's a python involved. Carl, we note on the opening page, it's dedicated to the memory of your brother, Rob.
Yep.
We spoke after that terrible shooting at the Capitol Gazette in Annapolis, Maryland. He was one of those killed. It's been 2 years.
Yeah.
Has he changed the way you write? Has that changed the way you write? You did dedicate this to him.
Yeah, no, and I knew I would. I don't know that it changed the way I wrote. I think what happened was I went through a period after Rob was killed, and he was, let me just say, an incredible writer himself, and he was funny and wise and smart and just sharp and had this wonderful sense of humor, and I was frozen really for a couple of months. I mean, the first thing I went back to do, and it took me 2 months after he was killed to do it, was to start my column again because I just knew he would wanted me to keep writing. And then, I mean, and it wasn't easy. It was the first time in my whole life where I just couldn't. And then once I started the column, I started thinking about the novel and, you know, gradually worked up to where I could launch on it because it's what he would have wanted me to do. The last thing he would have wanted me to do was sort of bail out and quit. And also I kept thinking of his sense of humor the whole time while I was writing Squeeze Me, because I know he would have enjoyed it. You know, we always talked about books, and I think it was a motivation, honestly, Robin, to keep going, because it was a, you know, there were some dark times, and it's hard to be funny some days when, you know, things happen like that. It's hard to be, sit down and write humor for someone else and for readers who are expecting. You know, my readers are just terrifically loyal, and they're also sharp, and if I was off my game at all, I would have felt like I couldn't do the book. So, you know, it took a while, but I think in the end it helped me.
You're pretty much on your game in this, just so you know.
Well, thank you.
Carl Hyson, again, the new novel, Squeeze Me. Carl, thank you so much.
Thanks, Robin. It's great talking to you again.